First of all, I just want to say thank you so much. It is absolutely amazing being here. I was here, like the sister said, last year, and immediately when I was here last year, it was a rough year for me. But something about the peacefulness, the grace and love that just pours out of this church is absolutely amazing. And hence, back here again with Lynn, and we drove all the way across Colorado and through Kansas to be here. But anyway, feel very blessed to be here with all of you. And as I was thinking last night about the story or the testimony I'm about to give, I was pondering the travel and how I got here specifically today. And it could have gone, I was thinking, gosh, it could have gone in so many different ways, my life and, you know, how I ended up being here. But I feel very blessed, and obviously it's divinely ordered steps and his faithfulness that got me here. So I'm just feeling very blessed. And I am a little weepy, a little emotional, because a lot of that dust that had settled got stirred up as I was thinking about this last night. And then Leela sang her song and became a puddle. So if I get a little weepy, it's all her fault. My name is Anika Jofia Roja. That is my full name. I go by my middle name because my first name is way too difficult for people to pronounce. But I was born in Pécs, Hungary in 1971, when Hungary was communist, under communist rule. And when I lived there, little history, I guess. Hungary was part of the Eastern Bloc countries of Europe. Being that it was under communist rule, as children, I remember, you know, growing up there, of course, but we had little military uniforms, not, you know, the green kind of thing that you would normally think of, but everything was very ordered, very structured, as you might imagine, under communism. And from a very young age, gosh, no one talked about God. We weren't allowed to talk about God. Talking about God was actually not allowed. It was illegal. And so we certainly did not practice the faith in my family at the time that I lived there. So it was, unless you could touch it, it did not exist. Now I say this because when I was about 7 or 8, my aunt and my mother took the opportunity to go down to the city plaza, Pécs Plaza, beautiful, you know, as you might imagine, Europe being, you know, beautiful plaza. It was surrounded with a number of churches, and it was a beautiful day. My aunt and my mother were in deep conversation, and as a child, I loved to chase the pigeons, and of course, in any European plaza, you have to have a proper number of pigeons there. Used to chase them around all the time, but in this case, I was looking across the plaza. It was very unusual for me because one of the church doors were wide open. And you would have normally not had that because, right, the government wouldn't want you to even be introduced or even ponder the notion of entertaining religion or faith of any sort. But for whatever reason, the doors to this church were wide open, and I could see inside, and I saw something that I had never seen before. I needed my mother to explain it to me. It was, in hindsight, of course, I know what it is now, but then I didn't know. It was a woman who was kneeling. She was a widow. She was kneeling, and she was praying. And I had never seen that. I didn't know what she was doing. But what was fascinating to me about it, it touched me immensely because, there was, I gotta get through this, a radiant light shining out from within the church, around her, and out of the church. And it obviously piqued my interest because I've never seen anything of the sort. And it was his calling, obviously, in hindsight. I didn't know that. But I started asking my aunt, my mother, a lot of questions around it and wanting them to explain what I was seeing because it was so peaceful, and the love that was emanating from this church was something I've never seen before. And of course, being the climate that it was, as far as politically concerned climate, I to this day remember my mother's face being very, very stern. She dared not answer any of my questions. One, I wasn't sure. I don't think she knew the answers to the questions I was asking, is one. But then the other thing is she did not want to be discussing that in the middle of a plaza with other people around. So I just remember my aunt and my mother hurrying us off and you know, as a child, you know, being in, you know, small kid with parents or something like that, you're hanging on to their hands and they're just like flinging me along, you know, to getting me out of the plaza. And that was that. We never ever discussed that. We never talked about it. But interestingly enough, and I'll circle back to this, to this day, my mother remembers that incident because she thought it was just so strange and bizarre the way I started asking her those questions. But I'll circle back to that in a moment. So that was Paige Hungry, and years later, my family was lucky enough to escape Hungary in 1980. And of all the places that we went to was the Detroit metro area, Michigan. Yeah, there you go. It happened to be the most direct flight. we landed in Detroit, Michigan. We did have family that lived there. But we did come before Christmas, and we used that as an excuse to come and visit. And luckily, you know, it was before Reagan changed the law, so we were allowed to stay. It was shortly after, 3 months later, Reagan changed the law, and you can just come in and stay like that. So we just made it by the, as they say, skin of our teeth. We lived there a couple of years. Eventually, a few years later, my parents were able to buy their first home, heavily, heavily mortgaged. But it was small, it was quaint, and it worked. School was 5 blocks away. There was a Lutheran church 2 blocks away on the way to middle school. And I was learning my English because none of us spoke English. We were just thrown into school and sink or swim kind of situation. We had to learn. And learn we did. We, you know, kids are very pliable. But anyway, I walked to school every single day because it's only 5 blocks away. But I kept going by this church every single day. It's a Lutheran church. And there was something nagging, that, you know, that curiosity, something that I saw way, way back, you know, in Paige Hungry, that calling. There's going to be some answers somewhere in that church. Now, mind you, it was a Lutheran church, but, you know, I didn't know the difference at the time. It was a church. There's bound to be some answers there. Also, you may recall about this time in the mid-'80s. I don't know when this started. PBS had a fantastic show on Sundays, cartoon series, and it was a Bible, faith-based series of cartoons about the gospel and the stories and the teachings of Jesus. They were my favorite. And I at first I wasn't even sure why I was drawn to it, but I was drawn to it. And it doesn't matter, of course, why. We know why I was drawn to it. But I could not stop watching it because, it obviously, the love, the mercy, everything about what Jesus is just was calling to me. And I remember my mother could never understand it. Where did this come from? How is it that you believe in something we've never taught you, you've never been exposed to, and she actually challenged me on it when I had no answers to provide. So she asked me, well, how is it that you believe? I don't know. I just believe that there is a Jesus. Short time goes by, and I'm attending middle school, and I got asked by a classmate to go to catechism, and at the time, I had no idea what catechism even was. It sounded very, very, it was a tongue twister. It was hard for me to even pronounce it, let alone even understand what that was about, but she kept bugging me about it. And then eventually it came out that, oh yes, catechism, this study, is at that church that I keep passing by. So she finally convinced me. I wound up going. It was an evening class and it was for middle schoolers. Mind you, not a lot was taught. I think I went maybe handful of times, maybe, you know, a dozen times, something like that. But what I walked away with, really, the two key things I walked away with, A, I got my first Bible, and two, that you had to, and I don't even know how this came about. I think I asked this question, how does faith work? How does faith work? And the pastor, basically, the answer that I was seeking was that you have to accept the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart. And I remember thinking that, okay, what is that going to do for me? Because I had no idea the profound change that would happen just by merely asking him into my life. And so I let that marinate because, again, I didn't know, you know, what that all meant. And later on, and I don't know how much time went by, the Lord came to me in a dream. And I had dreamt that I was in Egypt, in the desert, and it was hot, and, you know, Egypt, basically. And as I was walking in this environment, I came upon this building, four-sided, you know, basically mud hut kind of looking like thing. But what was odd about it was the building, even though it was square and it had a place for a door and it had a place for windows, there was no actual door or window on the building. You could see into it, and there was a chair in the middle of the room, and that's all there was. There was a chair in the middle of the room, and it was curious, but I was too afraid to walk into the building, so I kept, I walked around it, and in my dream, and I'm not going to repeat this too many times, but basically, I went around and round and round of that building, wondering what was in that building, other than, or that hut, that house, except for that chair. And I had walked around that building so many times in my dream, probably it was only a minute long, but it seemed like, you know, 30 minutes of walking around this building. But it eventually, the walk around the building was getting harder and harder, and the sand was turning into mud, and I was beginning to sink sink in my walk around in this path around the house. I was actually creating a crater around the house in my constant walking. Finally, in the corner of my eye, I see that Jesus is sitting on a chair in the hut, I keep calling the hut, but the building. And I finally stop and I look at the front door, and it's when I accepted basically coming into the kingdom of God, you know, coming into the house of God. And I walked into the house, and there was an immense amount of light, and I felt a union. A union like I've never felt before. And I woke and I knew exactly what it meant. It meant that I was overanalyzing. I was overanalyzing me walking into the door and accepting God in my heart, knowing fully well that I believe in him, but my fear, and because all that I had known in my life was everything other than God, it was so contradictory, I kept, you know, chasing my own tail. So the next night, when I realized what that meant, I prayed the hardest, I thought, because it was my first prayer. I prayed as hard as I could to have Jesus come and enter in my life. And I just remember to this day the feeling of that I've been chasing ever since. I felt such an immense amount of purity and light and love. And I felt like I was glowing. I felt like his light was emitting out from my own body. It was beautiful, and I kept praying because I wanted to not let go of that feeling. It was such a beautiful feeling that I just kept praying. Eventually, I ran out of words, you know. So, but obviously. That had changed my life after that. And the timing of that was incredible, because shortly after that, my family fell into some pretty deep problems. It became super, super dysfunctional. It became quite unsafe. Also, from all of that, I also got very ill at that time. That was when I was diagnosed and developed severe case of rheumatoid arthritis, which I carry to this day. It was probably one of the darkest times in my life. I've recently gone through a rough patch similar to it, but that was by far one of the hardest times of my life. Without God in my life, I would have never made it. He was there. Now I could say that now, looking back at it, but I'll tell you what, when I was going through it at the time, I asked God to remove me from this. I asked everything under the moon, please, Lord, make this stop. I was in that situation for 6 years, and I considered it and had written about it even at the time. I felt like I was in a cage that I could not get out of. And it had changed my life and changed who I was. I became very hardened. It made me very reckless. It made the next 25 years of my life extremely, extremely difficult. I had two marriages that failed. I kept seeking. I knew I was looking for God. I knew I needed God, but I was angry at God. I was so angry at God for letting that happen, and I needed to work that out. And I was seeking a place of refuge, a church. I had tried so many churches in the 20, 25 years, 30 years. I eventually moved from Michigan down to D.C. in all of that, and from D.C. to Colorado. Seeking a church that resonated, that taught me, that would teach me how to undo and find my way back home and to forgive. I knew I needed to forgive because it was ruining my life. For the life of me, I could not figure out how to do that. So, long way to Colorado, but I finally made it to Colorado, and through a friend, a co-worker, I came across Living Waters Tabernacle. It took a very long time. And at first, when I walked through the doors and began to listen to some of the services there, I couldn't believe it, honestly, at first. I kept waiting for the other shoe to drop. That there, it must have been a fluke, a one-off, that, you know, that message seemed to resonate so closely to what I believed in, what the teachings of Paul, now I know Paul, right? No, Paul. The Gospels. I was seeking that, and it kept getting, you know, it's very infused in almost all of the teachings there at Living Waters. As soon as I started attending, I realized how thirsty is the theme, huh? I've never attended faithfully a church because none of them resonated. This Living Waters is the first time that I feel I am part of the body of the church. I attend regularly because of the fellowship. The fellowship there is something I have never experienced in my entire life, and it emanates here as well. It's something that is very unique, very special, and those who have been brought up in the churches, and a lot have, they don't realize how good they have it. I had been seeking it for a very, very long time. Second week there, I wasn't going to talk about this, but why not? Second week there, I went to see Pastor Jesse. It was a little bit of a challenge. I was curious what he was going to do, but I really did need help. I really did need an answer and how to find my way to forgiveness. I had no idea. But we had our talk. He prayed over me. The elders prayed over me. 3 months later, Brother Webb took me up to the altar. I was filled with the ghost, filled with the spirit. And I've been there 3.5 years. 3.5 years only. It seems like to me a lifetime because I feel so embedded in the church now, that I can't even imagine a time that I wasn't with the church. But the reason why I say that is because, of course, time is short. We all know that time is short. My learning has been very steep and very deep. A lot of trials. One of which, about forgiveness, is, you know, I realized that eventually I was going to come to some answers around this. I happened to be reading some verses one night a couple of years ago, and it was about shame and how he took to shame when he went to the altar. And something about that, when I was reading that, boom, boom, God took the shame from me. And I will tell you the weird thing, this is supernatural. When he took the shame from me for 2 weeks, I felt a hole in my chest. I was doing a check with the sister that I was with every single day, and I would tell her about this hole in my chest because it felt like a physical hole in my chest that he took. It's hard to explain unless you've experienced it. But I would purposely do a check in myself because I thought it was absolutely amazing. The feeling of the lack of that weight that I realized that I now carried for almost all my life, the fact that it wasn't there, I certainly felt lighter. But I felt absolutely amazed, and it was it was evidence to me of his mighty power. And it was just, I mean, that's just, you know, a little thing for him to do. But for him to have done that in my life was absolutely amazing. Now, the reason why I say that is because that turned in 6 months later to me voicing out loud that I forgive my parents. I forgive my parents. And that turned into a year later, my parents moved back to Europe. A year later, I started talking to them over the phone. And this past January, I actually, the Lord had worked it out for me to fly to Europe, to Hungary. I haven't been there in, I don't know, 93 was the last time that I went there. I didn't pay a single penny for the trip. The Lord made it happen. As a matter of fact, the Lord made it happen in a way that the first people that I saw who picked me up from the airport were my parents. I wound up spending 4 days with them, and I sat at the table, and I remember sitting at the table thinking to myself, this is God. This is God. There's no way in my own body and power I would have been able to sit across from them. I'm never going to expect that they're going to apologize to me. I don't think I'll ever receive an apology. But sitting there across from them, I was amazed. Again, just the supernatural power of God, the fact that I could sit across from them and not be burdened by the past. They're talking at me, they're talking about me, and it's nonstop talking because we haven't seen each other 20 years now. But I'm sitting there with the ears of God, just listening to what they're saying and just internalizing, God, you are amazing. The fact that I could sit here and just be this close and not reach out and want to strangle them is absolutely, absolutely, absolutely amazing. I am very thankful. Since then, I talk to them monthly. It's been a great reconciliation that I would have never expected to have in my entire life. And for the first time over the 25, 30 years, I feel I have a peace that I've been seeking and been looking in the wrong places through other people when I know now that my peace is in him. Thank you.